Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that you help us, Lord, those that were sick to feel better. Lord, we thank you for these things, dear God. Lord, I ask you to just help us now this morning as we go forward, that you just lead, guide, and direct, dear God, to have your will and way in everything that is said and done, that you will receive the glory and honor. We just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. First thing this morning, I know it's been a while. I think back in December, but with all the sicknesses and things going on and people not being in church, myself included, I just believe the Lord laid upon my heart to try to do the Lord's Supper this morning. So you take your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 18. But before we read this, I want to read Matthew 26, 26 and 30. The Bible says there, it says, Matthew 26, 26. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the mount. Back over to Matthew 27 now, verse 18. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper this day, I really wanted to read through the crucifixion account. Jesus said that to do this in remembrance of him and the blood that he was getting ready to shed on the cross of Calvary. And so the Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should take or ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. It's amazing, brethren, they wanted Jesus destroyed and all he did was good. All he did was good. Verse 21, the governor answered and said to them, whither are the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus which is called Christ? They also said to him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. They spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head, and after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garment, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. You know, that's a sick generation right there. Think about it, and we're at that point today.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading this morning as well, when Herod and his daughter asked for the head of John the Baptist in a charger. That's a sick generation. Mm-hmm. That you'd ask for somebody's head and they didn't want it at that. We're there today. Here you can have a man that did nothing but good, and it's like watching a TV show. They're going to crucify him on a cross, and they're going to sit down here and watch that. Brethren, I have a hard time watching. I don't know about you. Two people fighting. It makes me sick in my stomach. Much less somebody dying on a cross. Verse 37. And they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." There were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocked him, and the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." Straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And there came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." So, brethren, as we go forward this morning, I want us to remember what Jesus Christ did for us, and how he went to a cross, and he was beaten, he was spit upon, crown of thorns platted on his head, mocked, people wagging their heads at him, and what the Savior did for us as we remember the blood that he shed on that cross of Calvary. 1 Corinthians 11:27 says this, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." You know, it's not a light matter to be a partaker of the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. It's a time to where we ought to examine ourselves and truly see where we stand or our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're lost, you definitely ought not to be taking it. But if you're saved, you ought to be thoroughly examining yourself and your walk before God. Paul says that none should take it unworthily. If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." So I'd like to take a little moment here before we partake of the Lord's Supper to do some self-examination. Make sure that if there's anything between us and the Savior, that we make it right with Him. If there's something that needs to be made right with someone else, that it's made right with that other individual. And that you would really examine and make sure that you're clear before God before you partake. You're clear before God before you partake. It's a serious matter. Not something to be taken lightly, but a time of an examination. And also a time to remember. To remember that Jesus Christ died for us and that He's coming back. Mm. And that He will not partake of this until we're with Him again there in heaven. Something to remember, something to ponder, and something to think about. So let's get a few moments here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's take some moments here.
Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you seek your face today. Dear God, Lord, I pray you meet with us. Lord, help us as we go forward now and partake of your supper. Lord, help us make sure that we're clear before you, dear God. Lord, that you would receive all the glory and honor and praise. Lord, for God, we will pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Thank you. Verse 25 says, in the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Lord, we think of when you went to the cross and Lord God, your body was ripped up, muscles and tendons exposed. By your stripes, we were made whole. And Lord, and you shed your precious blood for our sins. Lord God, you are our propitiation, our substitute. Lord, I know myself sometimes it's very hard for me to understand that kind of love. But I'm so thankful for it today. And Lord, I pray that none of us here would ever take that lightly and that we would never forget that. But we'd examine ourselves, not only today, but in the upcoming days during the week. Lord, help us to draw close to you. Help us to become more Christ-like. Lord, convict us with our Holy Ghost conviction on things in our lives that need to be dealt with. So, Father, I want to thank you for this morning, this service, this part of the service. Dear God, we want to just give you praise. Thank you so much for sending your Son to die for us. None of us deserve it. No, not one. And I just ask, Father God, that you just would bless the rest of the service here this morning now, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. And I like to sing a hymn. Stand, I'd like to sing page number 13. Page number 13, if you're able to stand.
Through all.
Amen. I thank you. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to partake this morning in the Lord's Supper. This week, not that it never is, but more so this week of a desire to draw closer to Jesus Christ. To draw closer to Jesus Christ. Brother, I just don't want to go through the motions, if that makes sense this morning. You know, when you miss church or you can't come to church for a while, it's hard. You miss the brethren, but you just miss getting together and hopefully meeting with the Lord. Spending time with Jesus Christ, walking closer to Him. You see, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about His glory. It's all about His honor. And it's all about lifting Him up and magnifying Him because He's worthy of it this morning. You take your Bible and look over at Genesis chapter number 3. I've been going through the last couple weeks here, looking at different things, specifically dealing with Adam here as the Lord talks to him. We talked about the ground being cursed and sorrow and thorns and thistles and him having to work by the sweat of his face and to bring forth bread and having to till the ground. But the Bible says in verse 19 to Adam, the Lord says to him, "For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." The end of all things there in these three verses, 17, 18, and 19, as God's talking with Adam, he closes with this final statement to Adam that, "For you came from the dust, and to the dust you will return." That's something that I believe that God would have us to think and dwell on, because I think in dwelling on it and thinking upon it and meditating upon it, it puts into perspective, or ought to, our lives. Our lives, we ought to remember our lives are just for a moment. James says in the book of James that it's a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so this morning, as we go through in these final minutes here in the Sunday school hour, I ask that God would help us to think about our lives and help us to realize that in reality, our life is but a vapor. And to dust we will return someday. And it could be very soon. But with that in mind is that we also have a soul that can glorify Jesus Christ. Brethren, you know, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this day, dear Lord. I thank you again for your mercy and grace, dear God. Lord, I ask for your help this morning. Lord, I pray, dear God, this morning again, Father, if there's something unclean here this morning, Lord, I pray you deal with it. Dear God, I ask you, Lord. Lord, I ask you, I beg you this morning, dear God, if there's an unclean spirit in here this morning, Lord, again, if somebody's just playing games, dear God, just going through the motions, dear Lord God, I pray, God in heaven, Lord, you deal with it. Lord, I pray you'd keep distractions at bay, dear God. Anything that would keep our minds away from thinking about who Jesus Christ is, Lord. God, I ask for your help. Lord, I ask for clarity of mind. Lord, my mind's all jumbled up right now this morning, Lord. I pray for help, dear God. God, give wisdom, give guidance, give direction, dear God. And I pray you'd help us, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that to Adam, you're going to return to dust. Take your Bible and look at Job chapter 34, verse number 15. Job 34, verse 15. The book of Job, verse 34. Chapter 34, verse 15. Job 34, verse 15. Look here for a moment. Job 34, and verse 15. It says, "All flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust."
Take your Bible, flip over to Psalms chapter 22 and verse 29. Psalm 22 verse 29. The Bible says this here. Verse 29. Psalm 22 verse 29. And the Bible says here, all they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. And all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And the Bible says in verse 29 here in the latter part, and none can keep alive his own soul. You see, none can keep alive his own soul. And it helps us to remember that our lives are a gift of God. This morning, brethren, if we're breathing and God's given us animation this morning, it is a gift of God, another day that he's given us. It is another gift. God has given us another day, not to live for our own pleasures and glory, but to glorify and magnify him. You see, we were created. The Bible says we were created to bring him glory, to bring him honor, and to bring him pleasure. That's why we were created. You see, brethren, we weren't created to go to heaven. We weren't created to go to heaven. We were created to have a relationship with our God. You see, I have a problem today, a little bit of a problem today is with the way some people put across salvation to others is you don't want to go to hell, you want to go to heaven, right? Well, Jesus died to be able to get you into heaven. No, Jesus died to bring you back into a right relationship with the Father. Jesus, listen, heaven is a fringe benefit. Not going to hell is a fringe benefit. We are saved to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid today many put the focus on heaven rather than on Jesus. And it trips people up because you know what? A lot of people want heaven, but they don't want the Jesus of the heaven. Yes, I'll get saved because that's why the problem with these little, with these child evangelism things. Well, you want to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven, right? You don't want to go to hell. That's a flames and fire and God. That's God doesn't want to send you to hell, but he wants you to come to heaven. Just read some of those tracts. The emphasis is on heaven. And brethren, there's nothing wrong with heaven, but the emphasis ought always to be on Jesus Christ. You see, a lot of people want heaven. But there's multitudes out there today, they don't want Jesus. Or at least they don't want the Jesus of this Bible. Jesus says, repent. Jesus says, turn from your sin. Jesus says, you're wicked and undone, and without me, you can do nothing. Oh, who are you to tell me that? Who are you to tell me that? Brethren, my question this morning is, do you want Jesus? Do you want the Jesus of this Bible or a false Jesus? A false gospel, a false Bible, a false religion. We've been going through it on Wednesday nights. There's a false gospel out there today, and there's a false Jesus Christ that's being preached today, and it's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's not the gospel of the Bible, and they don't even have the right Bible. Brethren, I've been reading some of Tozer's stuff. A.W. Tozer. If you get a chance, get A.W. Tozer's book on the pursuit of God. Get A.W. Tozer's book on the pursuit of God. We got a false Christianity out there today. We got a lot of people, I believe, today that are following a false gospel. They're following a false Jesus. And they're following a false Bible. And it's not of God. And they're seducers. Seducers, false apostles, false prophets, false teachers, false preachers, ministers of righteousness that have transformed themselves into angels of light so that they can deceive the many that stray from the truth. It's true, brethren. Brethren, look here this morning. We can think that we're fooling people. And sometimes we might be able to fool people, but we're not fooling God. We're not fooling God. Jesus Christ said he's going to bring everything to light that is done in secret. We're not getting away with nothing, brethren. I believe it's in Romans. Take your Bible and flip over to Romans. And look at Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Well, let's go back up to verse number 10. Romans 3, verse 10. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is a with their tongue, use deceit. The poison of asp snakes is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. The Bible says in verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that who are under the law, for what purpose, Paul? That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Brethren, you see, this morning it would do us good well to realize that soon and very soon, because life moves so quickly, that we'll return back to the dust, and our soul, as the book of Ecclesiastes says, will return to the one that gave it. And brethren, my point this morning, even in this hour, and as we move into the next hour, Lord willing, is this thought process that I hope that God can help us to see, is that someday, and someday very soon, this life will be past, this world will be past, and we will be spending eternity with God. And the Bible says in Psalm 104, verse 29, thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to the dust. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Brethren, we have a glorious, glorious opportunity. We have a glorious opportunity that God's given us time to live a life that brings Him glory and honor. That the Lord would allow us to be a light and a testimony for Him. There's no other greater honor in all of the universe than to be able to live a life for Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and look back over at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 20. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. So Adam and Eve sinned there in the garden. And the Bible says here in Genesis 3, verse 20, and unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You see, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And in the process of their disobedience to God, they realized that they were naked. And the Bible shows us, and we've looked at it already, that they tried to cover up their own nakedness with their own means. The only problem, brethren, is that we cannot cover up our own nakedness, our own sinfulness. It cannot be covered up by our own means. There's no way, and there's nothing that we can do that can take away the sins that we've committed against God. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, brethren, what we have to realize this morning is that something had to die for our sins. When Adam and Eve, think about Adam and Eve there in that garden. The Lord allowed every animal to pass before Adam, and Adam gave them names. Adam named every animal. But now that Adam has sinned, against God, and he's going through this process of the Lord dealing with him and dealing with Eve and dealing with the serpent. And now Adam, they sewed fig leaves together, and they're standing there before God in his presence. And the Bible says here in verse 21 that the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. What that means to me and shows me this morning is that Adam and Eve, with their own very eyes, had to see one of God's creatures in a perfect setup world. God go over to that creature. I don't know how it was done. All I know is the Bible says that the Lord God made coats of skins to give to Adam and Eve for them to put on. I don't know if they watched it, if they saw it. I believe they did. I know that's surmise and conjecture, but in my mind, I believe God was there setting the example and showing them that something had to die, its blood had to be shed in order for their sins to be covered. Brethren, this Christian walk is just not a mere religion. It ought to be a way of life. Because we serve a risen Savior. It's not a dead God. It's not a statue. It's not something we bow down to in a church somewhere. We serve a living, an alive God who rose again from the dead and is seated right now at the right hand of the Father. You see, we serve the picture of what occurred there in the garden. We serve the one who came and died on that cross, who was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Does that not put in your heart to want to serve him with everything you have? It ought to. Well, doesn't it put in your heart to stop being a hypocrite? We're full, brethren, this morning, please hear me as your preacher and pastor. We are fooling no one with our false professions. We're fooling no one. We're fooling no one. I beg you and I implore you this morning to look to Jesus Christ in truth, and Jesus Christ can provide a deliverance for anything. There's nothing that you can take to Jesus to where the Lord looks at you and says, "Sister, my hands are tied." No. He can loose any bond, any chain, and set us free and make us free to serve him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't have to go to the world for help. All I have to do to go is to my Savior. I'm going to try to help you this morning, brethren. I'm going to try to help you this morning by God's grace. But a lot of us are selfish, myself included. And you know what the root of selfishness is? Pride. You know why a lot of people won't let people help them? Pride. A lot of people won't receive help because of pride. I'm not going to let you help me. Because if I let you help me, that means that you got one up on me. And it's pride. It's selfishness. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Just as you give, a lot of people have no problem giving, but they have a hard time receiving. It's pride. It's pride. It's selfishness. Brethren, we prayed here before we took the Lord's Supper of the examination. And I'll ask you as your pastor and preacher this morning, is there pride in your life? Is there pride? Is there selfishness? Is it always about you and what revolves around you? And if everything doesn't happen to you or doesn't talk to you or people don't speak to you, are you offended and walk away because nobody loves me? That's selfishness. Brethren, the root of it is selfishness. Brethren, you say, "Well, preacher, you're just mean." What did I read in Matthew chapter 27? Do you see what was done to the Savior? And we get offended because somebody might not talk to us, or somebody doesn't shake our hand, or somebody doesn't say hi to us. That is selfishness, and I'm afraid to tell you, you're still carnal and a little child in Jesus Christ. God help us today to be mature Christians, to not think about ourselves, but to think about others. That's what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ did nothing but going around and doing good. He had compassion upon others, and all he thought about was doing the Father's will and helping other people. Brethren, I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm not trying to be mean, but a lot of times our lives revolve around us. All we think about is me, I, and myself, and not other people. Brethren, we had a lot of people sick in this church. We had a lot of people sick in this church. You say, preacher, I don't have nothing to do. Well, make somebody a meal and take it to them. Get off of Facebook, make a meal for somebody, and take it to them if they're sick. Brethren, I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to help you. I don't want us just having mere religion, but I want our thoughts to be all about Jesus Christ and then other people and how we can be a blessing and how we can and help and uplift and edify the brethren and not ourselves. Stop thinking about you and start thinking about Jesus. Start thinking about Jesus. Start thinking about Jesus Christ. The Bible says here that he made him a coat of skins. I believe those skins that he made for Adam and Eve, I believe they were a lamb. I believe they were a lamb or a sheep that died there in order to cover Adam and Eve. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 26. Proverbs 27, verse 26. Brethren, I don't want us getting home to heaven and regretting what we didn't do down here for our Savior. I don't want us getting home to heaven and regretting and saying, I wish I could go back and do it over again. I hope and my prayer this morning is that God will speak to your heart and show you exactly what you need to see this morning. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 26, the lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. I believe what the Lord there, when he took that animal's life there in the garden in order to make skins for clothing for Adam and Eve, I believe it was a lamb or a sheep that he used for their clothing. Take your Bible here and look at John chapter 1, verse 29. You see, thus, for us to have our sins forgiven and to be clothed with righteousness, The Lamb of God had to die for us. The Lamb of God. John chapter 1 and look at verse number 29. John 1 verse 29. John chapter 1. Well, jump up to verse 26. Jesus is getting baptized by John the Baptist. And the Bible says here in verse 26, Jesus answered him saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. Do you see John the Baptist's attitude towards the Savior of the world? John the Baptist is telling those there, he says, listen, there's going to come one after me who is preferred before me. And John the Baptist had such an attitude, he said to them, he said, I am not even worthy. I'm not even worthy to bow down and unlatch his shoes. Do you see this morning the reverence and the honor and the glory that John the Baptist give to the Savior? I'm afraid today that a majority in Christians' churches today have forgot and have put off to the side and have become numb to who Jesus is. I believe some today have taken the name of Jesus lightly. They take Jesus lightly in their life. They think Jesus is just Santa Claus up there in heaven with a long white beard sitting in a rocking chair, and he'll just oversee the sin and wickedness in our life. And that is not so, my brethren. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Lamb of God, and he will judge someday, brethren. And to think that we can just get over on him, you're a fool. You're a fool. You see, John the Baptist says, I'm not even worthy to bow down and unlatch his very shoes. And yet God has given us the opportunity for Christ to dwell within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, John said, I can't even untie his shoes. Jesus says, I'll dwell within you. What a Savior. What a God that we serve and the opportunity we have this morning. And take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 28. This goes along with what I was just saying a few moments ago. Let God help us to stop thinking about us and start thinking about others. Look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. Look what the Bible says here. Actually, jump up to verse 26. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. You know, a good word, and some people, but a pastor or also be called a minister. You know, a lot of pastors today, not all, some, think that the church is there to serve them. Not so, my friend. If a pastor is a true pastor, he ought to be called a minister in a sense that he ought to minister. He ought to serve and to be there for others. And may God help me to be the pastor to you that I need to be. And not be concerned about me, but be concerned about you. Because look what the Bible says in verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He's my example. He's your example. The Bible says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but what? But to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And take your Bible and look over at Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. The book of Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. Jesus Christ came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Galatians 1 verse number 4. Galatians 1 verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says here, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There goes Calvinism. Jesus died for everyone. Jesus just didn't die and provide salvation for a select few that were predetermined before this world came into existence. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died for all of mankind, not just a section of mankind. Man is now given a choice. Man is now given a free will. Man now has someone that became the propitiation for their sins, and that is Jesus Christ. Listen, the word propitiation means this. It means the act of appeasing wrath and conciliating the favor of an offended person. You see, when we've sinned against God, we've offended a holy God by our sins. And Jesus Christ, by his death, by his sinless death on that cross, by him shedding that blood, by him becoming sin for us, who knew no sin, he was the propitiation. He appeased the wrath of the Father upon us because of our sin. You see, the wrath of God abideth upon those that have yet to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That's another reason why I believe we're not going through the tribulation. Jesus Christ was the propitiation. He appeased the wrath of God upon me because of my sin, because he took my sin out of the way. It just wasn't covered. It was taken away forever. My sin is gone in Jesus Christ to never be remembered ever again because of the blood that he shed on that cross. He is the propitiation. He is the atonement. He is the atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage his wrath and to render him propitious to sinners. You see, God the Father can now be propitious to sinners. He can now show favor and forgiveness to Savior because of what His Son, Jesus Christ, did. You see, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Everything else in this world is not worthy to be compared unto Jesus Christ. I can't fathom it. That God, God the Son of God, and the Son of Man, 2,000 years ago was willing to be born of a virgin, to live in a sin-cursed world. The Son of God, who knew nothing but perfect fellowship with the Father, was willing to become sin for me, to where He cried on out on that cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You see, we take lightly our fellowship with God. Jesus Christ was tore up because He lost fellowship with God. He became sin, and when He became sin, the Father turned His back on the Son. To never, ever turn His back on you. You see, the Father turned a back on the Son, but if you're in the Son, He'll never turn His back on you anymore. You don't have to worry about the judgment of God, the wrath of God to be poured out upon you, because it was already poured out upon Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Sin, the payment for sin was made. You see, the love of God extends to the cross of Calvary. The love of God extends to the cross of Calvary. That is where the love of God is shown and was exhibited in His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the exclamation point of God's love. Jesus Christ dying on that cross. Jesus Christ. Brethren, think about it this morning. Listen, the most vilest sin you can think of, Jesus Christ became sin. He just didn't die for sin. The Bible says He became sin. So that you and I can be made the righteousness of God in Him. Brethren, I can't sin no more. I'm sinlessly perfect in Jesus Christ. What the book of John, 1 John says, whosoever is born of God cannot sin. Now, I'm not getting all that this morning, but Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 kind of explain that for us. We still got this flesh to deal with, and this flesh can still sin. But my spirit that has been born again of God has had a holy circumcision taking place there within me. I don't know how it all works. But I have been separated now in the Spirit to have the ability to bring all glory and all honor and all praise to my Savior. I have the ability this morning to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. You this morning, if you're saved, you, brethren, what a privilege. Brethren, please, God, I pray You'd help me, Lord, this morning, that we would realize and get a hold of and grasp what we have in Jesus Christ. What we have in Jesus Christ. We now, and 2 Peter talks about, we now have the ability to be a partaker of the divine nature. For 2 Peter chapter 1. Let us live in the light that we now have and in the power that we now have by Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. We now have victory. Sin, brethren, sin has no more dominion over you no more. You can have victory over sin through Jesus Christ and a new birth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity, Lord, that you have given to all of mankind, Lord, that You have Your hand outstretched even this morning, Lord God, to mankind. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, the opportunity to be saved, to be born again, to be converted and transformed from darkness into light, dear God, to become a new creature and old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Lord, help us to live in the light of these truths, dear God. Help us to walk in thy power and in thy strength and in thy might and live a victorious Christian life, dear God. A life that exhibits the power of Jesus Christ, that can show this lost world that there's hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to soak in these things. Lord, help us to meditate upon these things. Lord, help us to spend some time this week in the Bible just meditating on what we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and we'll give you the honor and we'll give you the praise. We'll thank you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. About 5 minutes. And if any men are interested, we'll be praying in my office here. Take a break here and we'll get started here in just a few minutes. Amen.